All right. Good morning. Matthew chapter number 16. Now, oftentimes when you preach about the judgment seat of Christ, you start explaining to individuals something that is unknown to the majority of even Bible believers. And you start talking about the doctrine of suffering and understanding or making sense of why it is that you suffer difficulties and problems and persecutions and, you know, woe unto you, the Bible says, when all men speak well of you. That's contrary to modern Christianity. Modern Christianity teaches that you're supposed to get along with everybody. It's this sort of a communistic kind of an idea that we're all just the same and that kind of a deal. Well, we are all just saved sinners, but if you're going to stand for Jesus Christ, you have to recognize that it requires on your part separation. And with separation, ladies and gentlemen, comes people that are not going to have adoration for you. They are going to want to persecute you because you make them uncomfortable. And you getting up, coming up the time now for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I mentioned it the other day, and I'll mention it throughout the whole season, that you'll have a lot of Christians who will get upset because I mentioned drinking. They get more upset about me mentioning drinking than they do about mentioning hell. In the last days, people are more concerned about whether or not they can fit in with the crowd as far as social lights and getting along with people than they are worrying about whether or not somebody's soul goes to hell. Yeah. Your predominant reason for being in church here is to be a light post, a lamp to people where they can come by here and recognize there's eternal consequences for you rejecting Jesus Christ. What is that? It's going to hell. Right. I mean, the roughest preacher in the Bible, you know what he said? This is sweet baby Jesus. You know what he said? Depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Right. You know what he says in Matthew 24? He said, depart from me, I knew you not. Lord, didn't we do all these good things in your name? Yeah, but I never knew you. You might have been using my name in a blasphemous way. You might have been, you know, using it to try to convince people that you were connected with me. But just because you mentioned my name didn't mean you were connected with me. Right. Now, it's a hard thing for people to accept, and I'm doing my best to sort of try to keep things down while I'm mentioning it to you. But you have to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, believing what I just said to you right there sets you at odds, not just with the world, but with other religious individuals, because their religion is one of by the people, for the people, about the people, the people, the people, the people, the people, open the doors and see the people, see the people, see the people. So many people, you can't see Jesus. Now, I know some of you Southern Baptists, I know what you're thinking right now. You say, well, now, preacher, look, I was raised Southern Baptist. I was a Southern Baptist church 9 months before I was born. I know how it all works. I know how they get you in and get you. Once you get in, they get you baptized, and then they get you in the harness. And then the next thing you know, you work, 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 work till Jesus comes. And then before long, you begin to develop that, and you begin to think that working is equated to having a relationship with the Lord. You don't know anything about worshiping. You don't know anything about sacrifice. You don't know anything about giving to Him. What you know about is, well, I just have to keep working. And then you get burned out. And then when you come to an Independent Baptist Church, and the Bible is at the forefront, and preaching is the most important thing. It's like, well, where's the programs? Well, your church is not supposed to be built on a program. Your church is supposed to be, 1 Corinthians 3, built on the foundation. No other foundation can any man lay. But now you see, that sounds strange because people generally like themselves. And so they make the church about themselves. You hear a little message about that this morning. But well, what I want you to understand is that this idea, this thought, that when you start talking about suffering, the word tribulation comes up. And tribulation is what a Christian is assigned to. Once you're saved, you know what he said? You're going to enter into the kingdom with much tribulation. You're not going to go through the tribulation, but you're going to have trouble. Tribulation, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible, doesn't mean the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. Tribulation, when it's mentioned in the Bible, more times than not, tribulation is equated to a Christian's time of suffering, a time of trouble, a time of difficulty. It's not equated with the time of Daniel's 70 weeks upon the people Israel to finish the transgression. It's about you and I as Christians. Just like the word baptism, when people hear it, if you can pay any attention to it, you'll hear Acts 2:38 on a regular basis. Repent and be baptized, repent and be baptized, repent and be baptized, repent and be baptized, remission to sin in the name of Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. You know what? You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Amen. Find a blood atonement anywhere in Acts 2:38.
Right.
Now, see, some of you think that I'm hammering. You say, well, at least they're going to church, you know, and at least they're going to hell if they're counting on their baptism to save them. It doesn't matter how good a person they are. Do you understand? I'm not slamming people. You're saying, well, preacher, you just shouldn't talk about other people. Okay, well, how else would you like? I'm talking about a religion that is believing a false doctrine, and if they believe that doctrine, they're going to go to hell. Do you understand that? Does that even bother you? Why would it not bother you? Well, no, preacher, you know, but they mean well. You can mean well all you want and go straight to hell. Yes. That passage about baptism and stuff, more times than not in the New Testament and Pauline epistles, baptism has nothing to do with water whatsoever. It's spiritual baptism. It's baptism of the Holy Ghost. Over there in the passage where John the Baptist is preaching, he said he comes to you and brings a baptism of fire. You don't want a baptism of fire. You say, what is that? That's hell. That's the lake of fire. Why would you want to tell somebody, you know, give me the baptism of fire? Not me. I got out. I don't want to burn. Well, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. In this case, I do. I believe it's what the Bible teaches. I believe it's the saddest thing in the United States of America where you have the freedom of speech still, at least a little bit of it, though they're trying to control it as best they possibly can, that you won't tell somebody of another religion that their religion is false and Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. I can't believe you wouldn't tell anybody that because you're more worried about keeping a relationship with your family or friends than you are keeping a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't believe you'd think I'm a hate monger right now and think that, you know, well, preacher, you know, you got to learn to tone that stuff down. You've said that. No, I don't need to tone it down. You need to turn it up. You need to recognize people are going to hell, but they're in church. They're going to hell from a pew in church. Because you know why? Christians won't open their mouth. You're going to sit at the table with them this coming Thursday. You're going to have them all around the table. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to be more interested in making sure you stay right with your family than you are right with God. You'd be more concerned about, you know, not creating anything to be offensive or upsetting to the people around the table because you don't want to be a freakazoid. You say, why? Well, there'd be Catholics there and charismatics there and backslidden Christians there and people that could care less and all that other kind of stuff. But they're your blood. I know how that is. I know blood. Hey, youngin', how are you doing? Good to see you. Glad you're back on your feet. You'd be more than happy to be able to sit around that table and make a compromise with your family than you would about whether or not they go to hell. Amen. And have them point at you at the great white throne judgment and say, I sat at the table with you and you wouldn't even tell me about it because you're worried about your reputation. Well, you wouldn't want them to think you're too much of a fanatic, right? You know what a fanatic is, right? Somebody that loves the Lord more than you do. What you have to recognize now is in order for you to understand this thing about tribulation is that I hate to tell you, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I am not going to get up here and lie to you and tell you that everything's fine now that you're saved. Everything is fine as far as if you kick off right this minute, ladies and gentlemen, you are done, sealed, you are seated with Him in heavenly places, and I can stand over your box, your coffin, your ashes, or whatever, and I can say because you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're home with Him in heaven. That's settled. And in that case, you're safe. But you know what? Right now, I can't guarantee you tomorrow. I can't guarantee you the next hour. I don't know what's going to happen. Couldn't give you an idea. Preacher, why has this happened to our country? Could you answer this for me? Why shouldn't it happen to our country? I'll show you a passage in the morning service today that'll show you're following in the steps of Israel. And if Israel decides to depart from God, God departs from them. Your nation departed from God years ago. Didn't depart from God in 1964. Departed from God in the 1900s. You picked another Bible. You picked a whole other way of going things. You came out of the Philadelphian age and you went right into Laodicea. And you are in Laodicea, sure as I am standing here right now, because it's all about the people, the people, the people. There are people that don't come to church anymore because they don't like how I talk. Okay, well then why don't you go to church? Well, preacher, I'm going to church now, but the guy's a lot nicer and we have tater salad suppers and we have this and that going on and everybody has something to do and everybody has a place to go and it's just a wonderful place to be and you're what? Somebody? Come on. It used to be to come to church to find out about the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be hard on you, but I'm going to try to explain to you that when you're going to do what God wants you to do, stop expecting the world to love you for it. They are not going to like you for that. You are not only going to have the devil against you, the world is going to be against you, but worse than that, the greatest enemies that the Lord had when he preached was the religious people. You got to recognize that. That's part of what comes with it. You know what he said? That's a good thing. If they recognize, he said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. You know what he says to you? He says in the Bible that there's a time coming that they think they're doing God a service by kicking you out. I realize it's a tribulation reference, but that's where you are. So I don't want to lie to you and make it out to be something that it's not, that everything's going to be rainbows and roses and unicorns and popcorn and cotton candy and all that kind of stuff. We get all that when we get to heaven. I do want to see a unicorn when I get there.
Yeah.
You say, what's it going to be? I don't know. I can't tell you. Maybe it's a horse with wings and got a horn in his head. I really don't know, but I guarantee you he ain't pink.
Right.
I guarantee you he's not rainbow colored. In the Bible, just to make sure we're starting on the right foot today, in the Bible, a rainbow is connected with a curse. And he put his bow in the cloud to say, I ain't going to do it again. And now all of a sudden, you got somebody taking a sign of not cursing you again and putting it under a different meaning. You better be careful about using God saying, I won't bring a curse. You know what that? Did you even make the connection? I'm going to get under his rainbow, and because I'm under the rainbow, he can't curse me for my wicked living. You didn't even make the correlation, did you? That's God can't curse me. I'm under the rainbow. You headed for trouble. You know what your nation's doing now? Your nation is now going on and endorsing the rainbow. You say, well, why not? How about because it grieves God? All right, now this thing about tribulation, I want you to grab a hold of it because it's very important for you to understand that the Bible warns you about it and tells you about it. We'll start in Matthew chapter number 16, and I'll give you some verses here for you to think about. And it's not to be depressing, it's just to inform you of the facts. That's all. It's just to tell you what's going to go on and tell you if you haven't been through it, then thank God for it. And if you're not going through it now, thank God for it. And if you're going through it now, thank God for it. Because
yes.
If you're going through it, you may be doing something right for a change.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and what?
Suffer
many things that the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, who were his enemies? The elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, which by the way they did, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now watch, I'm going to see if you pick up the correlation. But he turned and said unto Peter, who's filling Peter's mouth with, you're not going to suffer. You're not going to die. You're not going to get crucified. You're not going to be made fun of by the chief priests and the scribes. Who's filling Satan? Who's filling Peter's mouth? Look at that. You going to tell me that that same one isn't alive in your churches today? You're not going to suffer. You're not going to have problems. You're not going to have difficulties. You're not going to be made fun of and laughed at and mocked. You're not going to have to separate. You're not going to have to be that individual that's ostracized at the party because you don't drink and do all the things. Oh, no. No. Who's talking? That's a minister of righteousness. That's Satan's ministers. That's not God. God turns to Peter here, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, and he says, but he turned and he said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God. Uh-oh, boy, what a mouthful. But the things that those that be of men. Now what he just said to you there, come on down to the passage, you know what he just said? He said, you're keeping your flesh alive. You're interested in yourself. And he said, you know what? You're not savoring the things of God. He said, now think about this. If he's telling Peter, Peter's one of the main apostles, right? You know what he said? Peter, you're an offense to me. Well, let's put that on ourselves for just a minute. The Lord says to you, if you suffer, you shall also reign. right? Is given on your behalf of Christ, not only for your salvation, but also to suffer for his sake. And given to you that same in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, Romans chapter number 8. It's repeatedly all through there. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and about the suffering and all that kind of deal. And you say, Lord, I don't know why I'm suffering. I don't know why I got trouble. I don't know why I got problems. I don't know why I got, why am I sick and not so and so and this and that and the other. And the Lord said, thou art an offense to me. I'm going to suffer to set an example. You're an offense to me. Get thee behind me, Satan, telling me that the Christian life is not going to involve suffering and problems and trials and tribulation. Thou art an offense to me. How would you like to have the Lord say that to you? Say, oh, he'd never say that because, you know, he's a pastor of a large church. And if you say that to the congregation preacher, people will leave. Well, they left him here. As a matter of fact, I'll show you in just a minute, even after he warned them, you know what happened? When they came to pick up the Lord, even though they said they wouldn't desert, you know what happened? They all fled. You know what I've seen happen? I've seen the Lord land smack dab on an individual and the Lord give them an opportunity to get right. You know what they do? They all fled. I'm out. I'm out. I'm done. I'm through. I'm finished. I'm out of here. Why? Because it's not about you. Why? Because you're not getting the focal point and attention put on you in the name of religion, the name of looking religious, and everybody's not swarming around you because you're the most important thing in the whole world. Thou art an offense to me. That's what he said to Peter. Watch, let's go a little further. It gets better. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him... get choked up on that one all the time. You know what he's doing? He's saying, first of all, Peter, you're an offense to me because Satan's inhabiting you. And second of all, you won't deny yourself. Peter, this whole thing's about you. Deny himself and take up his... There's the third thing. You say, well, I'm going to follow Jesus. The Lord said, well, you're traveling kind of light, ain't you, buddy? So, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'll be willing to follow you. Okay, well, you're traveling kind of light, man. Well, what do you mean I'm traveling light? Where's your cross? Lord, I was looking for the crown. No. The cross comes first. Crown comes later. You want to follow me? I realize this is old school for some of you, even some of you that have been around here for a while. That's why Miss Pat's the only one saying amen over there. No, you're kind of, well, I haven't heard that. That's because you've been listening to too much Joel Osteen. You've been listening to too much of those smooth-talking, sweet-talking liars that are out there trying to tell you, you deserve things to be much better. God is so good. Okay, you're saying God's good when he's giving you what you want? That's when God's good? No, God's good even when he gives you what you need. Preacher, if I was you, I wouldn't talk that way. Well, then maybe that's why the Lord doesn't have you be Balaam's ass today. Sometimes you can't get a message from anywhere else. He'll make the donkey talk. You know what he just said right there? He said, Peter, you got a problem here. And the problem is that you love yourself. You won't deny yourself. And you're traveling light, Peter. You thought when I called you from the fishing nets over there, you were going to give up for prosperity. And you're going to get all. How do you know? Because he went over and he said, Lord, I just want to ask you a question. I mean, we gave up our fishing. And we gave up our economy. We gave up all the material possession. We left our boats over there. We left everything. And Lord, I'm just wondering, what's that going to be worth to us? And the Lord said, whoever gave this, I'll give them 100-fold and I'll give them 60-fold. And he's looking at Peter thinking, you honestly think that you gave up more than I'm going to give you? Boy, that's it. Lord, look at what all I did for you. You mean when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, and doesn't require... You're traveling kind of light, ain't you, Christian? I'm old enough now I can say it to old people. You're traveling kind of light, ain't you, old man? Ain't you, old lady? Ain't you traveling kind of light? Haven't you spent your Christian life living for yourself and doing for yourself, and now you're getting old and decrepit and you want it to all be about you? You're traveling kind of light, ain't you? You ain't dead yet, are you? Traveling kind of light. Why? You don't want to drag that cross around. A little too heavy. Let somebody else carry that thing. That's why churches have now become all about programs and people instead of about Jesus Christ. You say, why? Oh, a cross. Oh, man, thank God Jesus died on the cross. He did. But he gave you one. And he said, if you're going to follow me, take it up. Count the cost. Oh, Lord, I just want the prosperity. Okay, well, you get home and get to heaven. You say, what does that make you? It makes you a saved sinner. Say, it makes me a Christian. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Hope you'll stay around for the morning service. I'll talk to you a little bit about that. But it's Thanksgiving. That's why I'm going to preach on it. You say, why? Because you're expecting a message on gratitude and Thanksgiving. So there'll be people that'll come because the message will be nice and sweet and cheerful and soft and tell me about all the great things we're going to have, and we're going to have a wonderful turkey and dressing, and we're all going to be gathered together. It's going to be a Hallmark movie, a Publix dinner that's going to, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. And the Lord says, you know what? I think on Thanksgiving, what I'm going to do is I'm going to blow the horn and you're going to get raptured. Amen. Not so, Lord. Do you know how long it's taken me to get that turkey ready? I mean, Lord, I finally got the family coming over to the house. And you're going to, Lord, now's not a good time. Could you postpone that? Notice what he says. He says, you're traveling kind of light there in verse 24, verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now watch. Take your Bible. Come to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Talking about suffering. This will help you if you grab the concept. If you know what's coming, you're better prepared for it when it comes. It's when somebody lies to you and you have a false expectancy or an expectation that everything's going to be good. There's nothing in the Bible that says your marriage won't blow up. There's nothing in the Bible that says your wife won't turn into Jezebel, your husband won't turn into Ahab. There's nothing in the Bible that says cancer won't come to you and that the baby won't die. There's nothing in the Bible that says you won't get the pandemic and die from it. And some of you get your backside on your shoulders when all of a sudden God sees fit to allow the death angel to come to your house. You know what you do? I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm through. Lord said, well, where's your cross? If you had your cross, you wouldn't have a problem with that. Amen. Why are you doing this to me? Maybe because of that attitude. Amen. Thou art an offense to me. Because you're giving the impression that the charismatics are right. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock which be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before into Galilee. And Peter said unto him, though all men, here he goes again, shall be offended. This is what he said when the devil was in his mouth. Offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Jump over to verse 55. The same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against me, the thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and... How about that? Because they had the misconception. He's going to be a military ruler. He's going to take over. He's going to get Rome's foot off their neck. And he's going to bring in the kingdom. And everything's going to be wonderful. Yeah, but there was a stipulation connected with that. That's if he was accepted as the Messiah by the people, not 12. See, oftentimes we think because we've accepted him that that makes us the majority. No, no, no. It has to do with what the world does with him, not what we do with him. That's an individual thing. What their misconception was is if the nation of Israel rejects him, the Lord said, I'm putting it all on hold. I'm going to die for the sins of mankind. I'm going to cut it off in Acts chapter number 7 after Steve preaches, and they reject the Holy Ghost, and I'm going, and by Acts chapter number 8, I'm going to Gentiles, and I'm going to deal with Gentile dogs to provoke you under jealousy, and I'm going to do that for a couple thousand years, and then I'll come back to you. But when I come back to you, it ain't going to be the way I came this time. When I come back to you, you're going into the tribulation and you're going to suffer for rejecting me because I have continually tried and tried and tried and tried to reach you, and now I'm going to go to them, and when I come back, you're going to get it in the neck. Preacher, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, it's the whole thing is, it's about me. And why is this thing so tough? And why is this thing? Because it's worth something.
Amen.
You say, what is it? Tribulation. Romans 8:35 tells you that nothing can separate you. And then he tells you, Acts chapter number 14, you know what he says? He tells you that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Shall tribulation and nakedness and peril and hunger and famine and sword and now we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. What a way to talk about the bride of Christ, the church. The church triumphant. The church militant. Well, you know what you are? You're a bunch of dead sheep already. That's how the Lord said it. You're just dead sheep. You say, what? When I want to have a sacrifice, I'll just give them a Christian. Give them one of my sheep. Let them go. Burn. Burn up. Burn up on the stake. Get sacrificed, tortured for Christ. That's what I'm going to do. When the world's looking for a sacrifice, I'm going to give them somebody like Jesus. Somebody that's doing right. Somebody that's living right. Somebody that's acting right. Somebody that never sinned. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just give them Jesus. Could he give them you? Could he let you die on a hospital bed? Could he let your child die? Could he let your marriage break up? Could he let your finances bottom out? Could he do that? Could he say, hey, he's the sheep for the slaughter? Yeah. Preacher, that's why I don't want nothing to do with this job. I mean, I need somebody to tell you. What do you mean lie to you? Because you're going to get it one way or the other. It don't matter. You just well have a heads up and know what's coming your way.
Amen.
My sides, I never heard nobody talk that way. You've been going to the wrong church. Acts chapter 14, you're going to find you a place that goes where they tickle your ears all the time. You know, maybe occasionally might mention hell to you. Thank God you're not going, though. If there's anybody here that's lost and you haven't trusted Jesus, and yeah, it takes all the heat off of you altogether. You people are saved. Preaching a salvation message doesn't do nothing but try to make you get retreaded. You're saved. You just ain't living right. And you know you ain't. Thanksgiving, thank God for salvation. The Lord said, good, I appreciate you thanking me for it. What have you done with it? Well, Lord, I sure would like to get a prayer through. Well, before you do that, I'd like to get one through too. I've been praying all this time for you to get right with me. But who cares what he thinks? Some of you could care less what he thinks. He's told you time and time and time and time and time again, thou art an offense to me. You know what you say? Well, I don't really see it that way. Well, the way I feel about it. Well, I just don't know. I just don't know why he does it that way. No. Don't turn that on me. You're speaking to him. You're just trying to kind of go indirectly and make it like it's coming through me. No. Your problem's with him. If I'm preaching the book, your problem ain't with me. Your problem's with him. I can't answer your prayers. He can. If you can't get one through, your problem ain't with me. Your problem's with him. Acts chapter number 14, look in verse 21. The Bible says this, 14:21. And when they had preached the gospel in the city and had taught many, and they returned to Lystra to go to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Might I remind you, this is after Calvary. And might I remind you, he doesn't say kingdom of heaven. He says kingdom of God. That's not a literal, physical, earthly kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's the kingdom of God. You know what he said? You in the church age, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have much tribulation.
Amen.
You say, what's going to happen? Death angel ain't passing over your house.
Amen.
Haven't you lost loved ones in the past year or two? Haven't you lost loved ones in the past 10 years or so? Haven't you had inexplicable things occur in your household and in your family with diseases and sicknesses and stuff like that come around? Everybody ain't going to be like Miss Julie. Last Sunday afternoon, she goes with a perforated appendix and goes into the hospital. 14 hours later, after she has surgery, she's kicked out of the hospital. She's sitting in church today. That's an anomaly. You say, what is that? That's supernatural. You say, what is that? That's the power of prayer and good doctors knowing how to do things. But everybody ain't going to be that way. Sometimes you go in the hospital, you don't come out. I know what I'm talking about. We've buried enough of them. You say, why? Can God count you as that kind of sheep? No, but I'll comfort somebody else when it's their sheep. You mean you're going to go take the sheep that belongs to somebody else and offer him for something else instead of yourself? I think David got in trouble for that. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and come over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians 4. We're talking about tribulation. You're well and kind of tight. Well, I've been being too sweet lately, I think. Signs and troubles and trials and tribulations and persecutions and afflictions and suffering and sacrifice and being despised and being rejected and surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. You're not hearing much about that anymore. All you hear about is a cotton-picking pandemic. You know, what if COVID gets me? The church is just too crowded. Fellow said that. He said, man, there's just too many people in there. I said, okay, well, then don't come. And then I run into him at Walmart. Walmart has a lot more people than we do. You ever seen what they got on them buggy things? They did a test one time of all the stuff that's on the handle of the buggy, even after it was wiped down with a bacteria wipe. I'm kind of like, man, I'd be like pushing that thing like this, you know. It's like that. You know, I can't come to church. It's just, I know what it's too crowded. There's not enough room in you for you and the Holy Spirit. That's what the problem is. You're afraid you're going to catch something. That's what it is. Makes you uncomfortable. You're going to blame it on the people. Well, what if they got it and they give it to me? What if they got the Holy Ghost and they give that to you? Something you hadn't experienced in quite a while. Something you wouldn't know if it hit you right upside the head. You got saved and got all the Holy Ghost you're going to get, and you haven't felt the spizzarinctum of the Spirit in however long. You don't even know what it's like. You're just as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. You say, why? God ain't done nothing for you. You hadn't had to trust God for anything. The fellow says, well, I can't come over there, and he goes to the movie theater. I can't go over there, and I go to work. I'm just telling you that as they used to say to us when we were in the prison, you truthful now. I am. I'm telling you the truth right now. Amen. Why, you hypocrites, you. Amen. Listen, just be honest and just say, I don't want to go. Right. Stop being something that you're not. I don't want to go. That's why I'm not there. Right. Don't act like you want to go, but you're afraid one of us is going to give you cooties.
That's good.
I had to do a little thing. I got a little bit under the weather a while back, and I sent all the trustees and the deacons a picture of my negative test because somebody was going to have, he's spreading the virus. Well, I stay 6 feet away from people, and I don't spit on you too bad. Brother Jack asked me the other day, he said, spit on me. I got on a suit, you know. I try to stay away from it. But isn't that odd that he's got the doors open? He could give somebody the virus. I don't have the virus.
Right. Right.
What if I were to give you what I do have?
Yeah.
How about that? But you probably wouldn't want that because it'll quit being about you and start being about him.
Right.
You wouldn't like that at all. All you want to know is, when's the next supper in my honor? The next party in my name? 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3. We might just stay on this through the whole hour. Verse number, let's see, pick it up in verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. What did I say? We're coming there in a minute. So leave your finger there. If it took you forever to find it, we're going to come back to it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Let's just pick that one up in verse number 9. We'll save time. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles. Could you underline that word? What'd you say, Brother Russell? Who set them forth that way? Well, how unfair is that? They're an apostle and they're last. You got to be kidding me. I'm an apostle and I'm last. That's what he said. I think that God hath set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to. Wow. For we are made spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We're fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. He's being sarcastic. We're weak, but you're strong. We're honorable. We're despised. Even unto the present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless, and persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made the filth of the world and all scouring of all things to this day. I have a note in there. Is that your testimony? Is that what they think of you as a Christian? Or what a nice fellow, what a nice lady, and boy, they're so wonderful. drive out through the neighborhood this morning and pulling out there, and people are getting the last day of, I guess, springtime or summertime, whatever it is, fall coming on, winter, before wintertime, and they're getting out the boats, and they're getting out the lawnmowers, and they're getting out the tennis rackets and the golf clubs, and they're getting ready to go to the soccer field, and they get ready to go here, and they get ready to go there, and so on and so forth. And I go by there, I wear a tie out because I want them to think, well, if he ain't going to work, where's he going on Sunday?
Right.
You know, going to church.
Amen.
What an anomaly. You know what I want them to see? That bird does that every week. Where's he at now? He's off somewhere else. What does he do? He's preaching. What an idiot. Thank you. Notice what he says. Come on a little bit further there in the passage right there. I write unto you not these things to shame you, but beloved, as beloved sons, I warn you. For though in Christ, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not yet not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you to be followers of me. Wait a minute, Paul. You're telling me to be a follower of you? In context, it's verses 9 to 13. Is that your testimony? That's the Apostle Paul's. Hey, rightly dividers. Are we in Pauline epistles? So you know what? We've had some questions come up lately about how close to the world do we get? Well, I don't know. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Paul said, if I do anything that makes a younger brother stumble, I'm not doing it. If meat makes my brother to be offended, then I won't eat the meat. You know what we say nowadays? Well, that's their problem. I'm doing what I want to do. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He says in Romans chapter number 12 that you're not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said the world is at enmity with God.
Right.
You're not to be of the world.
Right.
So if the world does it, you decide.
Good.
Well, everybody else does it. I didn't say that. I said if the world does it. You know what you're looking for? You're looking for the church to become a cesspool.
Yes, sir.
You're looking for the church to be sort of a hog pen that is air conditioned and decorated with good things.
Come on.
We're saved sinners and we all have pasts. And everyone is welcome. But if you get this idea that we ought to keep dropping the standard and dropping the standard and dropping the standard and dropping the standard in order to reach the people, no, 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 no. You don't dip the colors to reach the people. You say, here's Jesus Christ, come unto Him.
Amen.
This idea that you're going to reach Him with a program or some kind of special thing or give Him a mug or a baked, half-baked bread or something like that when they come in, and we're just so glad. You look desperate. Listen, I lift up Jesus Christ, they come unto Him. If He's lifted up, and if they don't get saved, that's on them. Our job is to preach the gospel, not to try to clean them from the off-scour and the filth of the world. We'll take anybody under any circumstances, but you as a Christian got to be careful to not be looking and acting like the world. You know what He said? Let not your good be evil spoken of. You know what He said in the Bible? He says that you ought to abstain from all appearance of evil. If the world is doing it and it's evil, I should abstain from it.
Amen.
There's all the stuff when it comes to you dressing to get attention.
Sure.
Getting tats to get attention.
Sure.
Getting hairdos to get attention.
Right.
You're living in a day and time now where boys are going to a hairdresser. Don't you realize in that Bible hair is connected with judgment? That in the Bible Samson got in trouble because he didn't shave it like he was supposed to? Don't you recognize Absalom hung by it? There's a lot more dangerous things. You say, well, preacher, you know, this is my position on that. Really? You ever dealt with anybody who's been through chemotherapy, lost all their hair?
Come on.
You ever seen what somebody looks like without eyelashes and without eyebrows?
Yes, sir. Come on.
You know what they do? They put ink on here. Well, women do. Are they tattooing? You tell your wife she can't have no eyebrows. Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to get on you. I'm not for tattoos, but I recognize that sometimes, even cosmetically, that they have things that will help somebody with situations. By the way, hers grew back, so don't go over there and... Is that real hair? If not, you're the devil it. But you know what he does say? He does say you better stay away and abstain from appearance of evil. where you go, what you do and how you look, including that 40-foot tongue you got. In the name of Jesus, with false piety dripping out of your mouth. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, this God's just been so good to me. And we better just pray for everybody and just, we just love everyone and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me about it. You've got a guilty conscience. You've been talking about things you shouldn't be talking about. That's where all that's coming from. You're putting on a show. If you're a Christian, you'd be surprised. You don't even have to open your mouth. People know right off Jump Street. They can tell by watching what you do. They can watch your work ethic and say something different about that person. When you're always having somebody running that mouth, telling you all they're doing and looking all so pious and so pompous and so holy. Mm-hmm. Always just trying to humbly serve everyone. You getting quiet? Boy, now you getting quiet. You must have met some people like that. Absalom was like that. I know King David, he's a great king. Oh, he is magnificent. He is marvelous. He is God's chosen vessel. But he ain't got time to deal with you because y'all got problems. You need judgment on it. And he won't delegate and let me do it. But if I was the king, I'd make time for you. The appeal was to the people. But most people miss that. Well, why didn't they? People wanted Absalom. You say, why? Because if Absalom's there, I'm somebody. I know the king. You don't realize they're using you to make them, I'll solve your problem. One lady told me one time, she said, preacher, I was trying to call you several times. I started to call you, but I was told you don't have time for us little people. I said, really? I said, how about you do this? I said, how about you stand up on Sunday and ask the congregation, I won't even say a word, ask the congregation if I have time for people or not. Amen. Just ask them. I said, I don't know who told you that, unless you're lying to me. Oh, no, it's just that you're just too busy. Really? Why don't you call me and see? Make it rough. Call me at 2 in the morning and see if I answer your call. See if I let it roll the voicemail. That's an Absalom over there. He don't have time for you, but I do. I may not have time to come sit down to have dinner with you for 4 hours. Maybe not. But I have time to talk to you. Well, if I can't have a personal audience with you, okay. Well, get on my calendar. See her, get on there. Come on. But it might be inconvenient for you. Like when you go to the doctor? I don't know. I mean, I've called the doctor here lately. Had to go for a couple of reasons and things like that, right? I call the doctor and I say, now listen, this is when I want the appointment. This is when you're going to see me. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? You call the doctor and tell them when you are going to grace them with your presence. You know what I did? I called the doctor. You know what he said? Or she said? Call my secretary and make an appointment. Pardon me, I'm very important. I really don't have a lot of time. I've got this window. Well, then you don't have an appointment. You go see another doctor because I've only got this window. That's inconvenient. It's late in the afternoon for me and I'm ready to like chill out. Isn't it strange how sometimes the Lord will inconvenience you to see whether or not you mean business? Let's hurry. Can I give you one more? I know you're holding your finger in 2 Corinthians so that if I call it out and say, okay, whoever has 2 Corinthians first, you can stand up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll cover the rest of these this evening. Lord willing, and you coming back or not, you can watch on the tube thing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. When's the last time you thank God for His mercies? When's the last time you thank God for the trouble? It ought to be both. Look in verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our, well, there's that word, not the tribulation, in all our what?
Tribulation.
That we may be able to comfort them which are in any. Paul, you're making me nauseated. You're telling me he's going to put me through something so I can minister to somebody else? Yep. Amen. That's what he just said. Yep. He said, what are you going to do? You're going to go on the cross. so you can help people that are bearing a cross. Any trouble. And then he says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, for the sufferings of Christ abound in us. See how quiet it got right there? Paul said the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Do you ever look at the sufferings of Christ? Paul said they abound in us. Now watch what he says. So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings. There it is again, which we also suffer. There it is again. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Our hope that you steadfast, knowing that as your partakers, there it is again, of the sufferings, you shall also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch as we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know what he just said to you? Suffer, suffering, 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 suffer, suffer, suffer. We despaired. I'm the apostle. You're supposed to follow after me. In so much, we despaired even of life. Amen. They're going to kill us. But boy, what a blessing. You know what? We went through all that stuff so we can come here and comfort you. That's what he's telling you there. Now, that would be something that would bring glory to God, not glory to yourself. You say, what's tribulation? It's distress or suffering resulting from oppression or persecution or from affliction. Rough road to hoe. But then it makes sense now. I've got several more verses. I'll give them to you tonight if you'll come back and get a look at it. And maybe it'll make you wake up and realize, folks, I wish I could tell you this. It's going to get harder. I mean, I wish I could tell you it's going to get better. It's going to get easier. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, you're going to cry and cry and cry. You're going to be like Esau, who sought repentance carefully with tears and could find no place. You say, once you get there, you can't back up and say, Lord, send me back, send me back, send me back, send me back. Amen. You say, what's going to happen? It's going to get worse and worse as time necks down. I told you this last week. Time gets tighter and tighter and it's going to be harder and harder. You say, why? You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to punch that thorn in a little harder. He's going to persecute you. You say, why? Let me ask you this question. If some stinking pervert were to come into your household and take your kid, and you never see that kid again, would you have any grace toward that pervert at all? Nope. Wouldn't you be ready to have a conversation with him? Yes, wouldn't you? And rightfully so, right? Amen. Well, you belong to the devil, and the Lord took you out of his house. Right. You think he's happy about that? Nope. He'll never see you again. You say, what happens? He's mad. You know who he's going to take it out on? He can't take it out on him. He's seated up there. He's already had all the devil can dish out and took every bit of it. Died on the cross, resurrected, seated up there in heavenly places. You say, what's he going to do? He's going to take it out on the bride, the weaker vessel. You know what he's going to do? He's going to turn up the heat. And when he turns up the heat, it won't cause you to lose your salvation. But you know what will happen in the last days when you need to fellowship with Jesus Christ more than you've ever needed it ever, 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 ever before? You know what will happen? You'll see them watching them dropping like flies. One of the doctrines of devils in the last days is peace and safety. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be wise. Nope, that's a lie. Father, bless your word. Pray you be with us in the upcoming service. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.